All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor.
Hey, Sean.
Hi, Priyanka. How are you this morning, afternoon?
Afternoon, 12:01.
Hey, you know,
afternoon now.
I'm gonna jump right into it. I have been
getting what's going on?
Ocular migraines.
Really?
Yeah, like a lot of them. Like I had one today, had one 2 days ago, I had one 2 days before that.
Have you had them before?
Like, yeah, my whole life I've had them, but like once every 5 years I'll have
yes.
one.
Well, maybe you can walk through our listeners about how an yes. ocular migraine presents for you, because it's very unique. This is where you may or may not have a headache.
Yeah.
But you will see sometimes flashing lights, but yes. it's not floaters.
But it blocks your vision, the flashing lights.
It can, yeah. So you've had the same type of presentation before. Is it always the same thing?
Always the same. Always the
same. Okay, so tell me,
am I getting eye cancer or something?
Well, no, I think I've had ocular migraines as well, actually. Yeah. So what happens?
It's like your eyes feel real like puffy, like pressure.
Okay.
And like you have to pull over if you're driving when I get them.
Because your vision gets blocked.
Yeah.
How long does it last for?
It lasts for like an hour or two.
Yeah. Oh, more than an hour. Okay. That's kind of rare. Do you get a headache?
No.
Okay.
I mean, a tiny, tiny bit, but not bad at all.
So have you had imaging of your retina done? They have this special scan. It's called OCT, optical coherence tomography, where it's basically like...
You're down with OCT? Yeah, you know me. Okay, so such an old man dad reference.
But it's like a CAT scan of your retina.
Yeah.
And you can see if it's coming just from your brain or if it's actually a retinal issue.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you need to get your retina checked to make sure that there isn't...
Well, I just got all that checked.
When? Just like recently?
Like 2 months ago.
Okay, and your retina's fine?
Yeah, could you imagine if she was like, don't tell him, but his retina's falling out of his brain. No, I think it's fine, yeah. She would have told me.
Okay, so you wake up with this? Tell me about it happened this morning?
Yeah, it always feels like a sleep thing.
Okay, go on.
Like,
did
I sleep too hard or not enough or... Mm-hmm. It always feels like it's related to sleep, but I don't know if that's true.
So does it come on when you don't get enough sleep?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like if you wake up tired, does it come on? Because being fatigued will precipitate any migraines.
Really?
Whether it's ocular migraines or classic migraines.
Then that's what it is.
You know, if you're tired, dehydrated.
I've been taking a couple more gummies than usual. So it might be gummies too. Like special gummies, wink, wink.
Oh, yeah. So... Have you noticed a correlation between the number of gummies you take and then the onset of these ocular migraines?
No, but let me stop taking them for a while and see if they go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on a little
retreat.
Go on a little gummy holiday. Take a little gummy vacation.
Gummy holiday. It's the thing that I'm singing. Stop taking gummies today.
Just stop the gummies. Yeah. Just stop them. And see if there's a correlation. Because when did this first start? Like, when did you get your first ocular migraine?
Oh, God. I think it was in college.
Okay. Was there a correlation between...
Well, maybe, yes. I mean, look, the simple answer is sleep, but I just don't know if that's the answer.
Okay, so we need more data. We need more variables.
I'm going to I'm getting my retina checked.
Yeah, get your retina checked.
And just for fun, I'll have a finger up my asshole, even though that's not where the problem is.
Different kind of doctor. But also, when was your last MRI of your brain? Because that's also sometimes stuff in the back of your brain can affect your vision, specifically the occipital lobe. So get a brain MRI too.
Yes, a gummy holiday first. If they don't go away, then I'll do all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, when was your last brain MRI, though?
I feel like it's every day, but it's, I don't know. It was
on this show?
I don't know that I've ever had one. Maybe I did one like 3 years
ago. Whoa. You've never had a brain MRI?
I don't think so.
There's no way you were diagnosed with ocular migraines.
I'm afraid they're going to find like rats and stuff running around up there.
They might find a for sale sign or for rent sign. Yeah, they might.
A for sale sign. Like a little tiny metal for sale sign.
But you know what? It's kind of like you want to know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd rather know because then you can do something about it.
Yeah.
So I want to follow up on this.
Yeah, for sure.
This is definitely not something we're going to just like leave to the next episode.
No, no. I mean, I mentioned, I think, briefly on, I don't know, 200 episodes ago.
This is actually the first time you're telling me about your ocular migraines.
Really?
Yeah. Because I would know because I've actually had an ocular migraine.
Yeah.
When I was a med student, I thought I was getting a detached retina and my retina was fine and I was seeing all these bright lights.
Yeah.
And I got an MRI done. It was all normal. And then I got diagnosed with ocular migraine, stress-related.
Oh, stress-related. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, but they say, you know, caffeine and like
aspirin. Caffeine will trigger migraines, sleep deprivation, dehydration.
No, but they say drink caffeine to get rid of it.
Okay, so if you don't drink caffeine daily, then you can use caffeine medicinally to break a migraine. You don't drink caffeine. So have you tried having a cup of coffee?
You know what's so funny? I drank water for decades because I was like, I'm not drinking soda. I'm not drinking any soda. Uh-huh. I just really, in the last year, got really into Coca-Cola, like a lot.
Regular Coca-Cola?
Regular Coca-Cola.
Oh no, Sean, that's definitely going to cause migraines. You definitely have to stop
that. Okay, sorry, chill out on the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, just switch to diet if you want.
No, I'm not doing that. So I'm going to cut out Coke and I'm going to cut out gummies and see what happens.
Okay, deal.
But you know what we're not going to cut out is our guest, Kathy Najimy.
That is brilliant. Yes, Kathy.
Isn't that so great?
I
love her. Have you met her?
I haven't met her, but of course I know her work very well.
And here's what's great about our show is like we only have nice people on. And she's one of the sweetest ever.
Okay, so you know her, you're friends with her.
Oh yeah, for years and years. She's the
best. Oh, how lovely. Oh, that's great.
But before we get to our wonderful, delicious Kathy, let's hear from our listeners. The first recorded message we're going to listen to is from someone named Isabella.
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Wally and Sean. This is Isabella from Brooklyn. Huge fan of the podcast. Listen to it on my way to work every day. And it's the bright spot. Very joyful in my day.
That's nice.
So my story, in my early 20s, this happened. I started feeling very dizzy, disoriented, just overall unwell feeling in my body and like got to the point where I was so incapacitated that I couldn't function. And I would get up and stand up and then I would just feel like everything was spinning. So I went to go see a doctor.
Wow.
And they said I probably had something in my inner ear that was causing this disorientation. Mm-hmm. And so I went on antihistamines and it didn't help. It just kept going. And it was, again, like incapacitated. Couldn't go to work and I had to lay down and it was a struggle. Like it was very hard to just go about my day-to-day life. So I went back to the doctor and then they said, you know, let's see an ear, nose and throat doctor. So they sent me to an ear, nose and throat doctor and they started looking in my ear and then they found a tiny piece of cotton.
Oh.
That was most likely from a Q-tip.
Wow.
So they flushed out my ear and I had a little bit of a bout of vertigo, but almost instantly after that, from that day on, everything just got better and better. I started feeling more clear-headed. The dizziness went away, the disorientation, and I just felt like I got my life back. And it was literally in my brain. I remembered what happened.
Wow.
I was in my early 20s, let's just say that. I got home from drinking at a bar and I took a shower and I guess I stuck that Q-tip up my ear too much. So this is just a warning. Probably what? Don't do that. And if you do use a Q-tip, just use it around your outer ear. Be careful what you stick in your ear. But lesson learned, happy that I got over it. And today, like, I don't have any symptoms and I'm all healed up.
Oh,
so
that's good.
That's my story.
Oh, wow. Isabella, what a story. It sounds like Isabella got a QUI, Q-tipping under the influence. Am I right?
Here we go, people. That's a quee. She had a quee.
We got a quee here.
Wait, that's crazy. So she went out drinking. She stuck her... I mean, what? She stuck a Q-tip in her ear and the cotton like broke off and stuck
in
there?
Yes, the cotton bud. You know, here's the thing. Cotton buds are the most common foreign bodies found in ears. And the problem is the cotton also will cause some inflammation in the ear. And the only thing Q-tips are actually good for is literally like fixing your eyeliner or fixing your lipstick, it should never go in your ears.
Right. Because Right. Why would you stick that in your ear? You know, I want a friend that works with cotton, so I call him my cotton bud.
Wait. You know, there's literally no reason to use Q-tips to clean your ears because our ears actually have natural cleaning mechanisms.
Yeah.
The skin along the walls of our external canals and the eardrum, they have special skin cells that naturally clear.
Yeah.
It's called epithelial migration. It's like a whole thing.
But you don't get that satisfaction of pulling that wax out. It's so, it makes my mouth water thinking about it.
Like, oh my gosh, that gunk out.
I love it so much. But wait, my dog once went to the vet to get groomed, you know, like a bathroom. Uh-huh. And for like 2 days, he kept shaking his head all over the place. I was like, oh no, what's wrong?
Oh no.
And like after one real good shake of his head, cotton ball came out.
See, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a PSA for...
And a puppy. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
This is such a good PSA for persuading people to stop cleaning their ear with Q-tips because that cotton bud...
But that manufacturer made it for that, right? They made it to clean your ears out.
I think you can use Q-tips for lots of other things. Like, I'm telling you, to fix eyeliner.
Or how about this? Just don't stick it so far in.
No, I disagree with that. Because the cotton bud can still get detached. The fibers from the cotton tip, they can easily detach, and then it can cause some inflammation.
So maybe they shouldn't call them ear swabs. That's why they call them cotton swabs, right? Because they're not ear swabs.
That's true.
Cotton swabs for other uses.
That's true. And I don't understand why it's a Q-tip. Why
like an
Q?
L or P or M?
Yeah,
or S
like
or
T. a T-tip or a tri-tip, or
because it's for queer people. I don't know, like me. That's why I have boxes of them. Isabella, I'm so glad your ears are clean so you could hear our podcast. Thank you for your story.
Yes,
I love that.
Isabella, thank you. Thank you for that reminder to not use Q-tips. Thank you.
We're gonna get to our second recorded message from someone named Jenna. Let's listen.
Hi, Sean and Dr. Wally. My name is Jenna from Arizona. A couple years ago, I got up in the morning, was getting ready, and I started to feel something in my throat, as if it was lodged in my throat. Mm. I kept trying to cough it up, couldn't figure it out, had my boyfriend try and look, couldn't see anything. Same with my mother. So they took me to urgent care, where they did an x-ray, and they showed me the x-ray and said that there is something lodged in my throat. I started to freak out. My grandfather has throat cancer. So got really scared. They said they couldn't do anything there, sent me to the ER. Got to the ER, and of course it was a wait, like usual there. And I have high blood pressure, so then they keep me even longer. But long story short, after that entire day of being at the ER, there was a smudge on the machine that they used at urgent care, and I did not have anything lodged in my throat. But what they did find out is I had taken my high blood pressure pill that morning and had not swallowed enough water. So that is kind of what stuck on the side of my throat. But it wasn't lodged. It was just had rubbed off a little bit, and I could feel it. So, yeah, that was it. Now I make sure I drink enough water when I take my pills. My kids take medications, too, and I make sure I watch them every day when they do it. But anyways, I love your show. Thanks so much. And thank you. We appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, Jenna. Thanks for calling in.
Well, gosh, Jenna, you know what they need to do to Jenna? Her husband or one of her kids or somebody that's close to her needs to, when she takes the pill, to push the pill down like you do to a dog. You know what I mean? You massage the neck so that the pill goes down.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
I'll do that for you, Jenna, free of charge. It's just so it goes down.
This is called pill esophagitis. So esophagitis is inflammation of the esophagus. Basically, there are certain pills that if they get stuck in the esophagus, they can actually erode the esophageal lining and cause a little bit of injury. If it's mild, it can feel like it's getting stuck. But if it stays there for a while, it can like actually burn a hole. And there's certain blood pressure meds, for some reason, they cause pill esophagitis. So this sounds like a case of pill esophagitis.
Wow, where it just gets stuck. I had something caught my throat once. It was my pride, but I coughed it out so hard. But wait, that's amazing that you know that. That's crazy.
It's really, really common. You know what you should never do, Sean? And anyone really, swallow pills and then go straight to bed immediately because then it might not allow it for enough time to go down the esophagus and then it can cause pill esophagitis.
Like how long of time are you saying?
Like you need to wait 1 hour.
You do?
Yeah, because some people might have slower transit.
Every night, I take a vitamin D pill right before bed.
Well, some supplements can cause esophagitis. I don't think vitamin D is one of them, but in general, it's better. First of all, you should be taking vitamin D in the morning.
Okay.
But in general, you'd want to not take anything right before going to bed.
Because if it gets...
because then it could get lodged in your throat.
I'm not going to take any pills at night. No, I'm just taking them in the morning.
Yeah, just take it easy at night.
Yeah, you know? Well, don't
That's
yell at me.
The only thing you need to take a chill pill at night. Just chill.
that's good. I need to take a chill pill instead. That's so funny.
But, thank you, Jenna.
Yes, thank you, Jenna.
Okay, folks, thank you for those calls. We love listening to them. The number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. Please keep sharing your stories with us.
We love it. Let's get to our guest.
Hypochondriacture is supported by Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF-certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle.
So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences.
And let me tell you something, Sean.
Yeah.
My family, like my brother, for example, he is super busy. So I gift him Green Chef.
Isn't that nice? That's nice.
Then he doesn't have to worry. Him and his wife, they're fine.
Yeah. It's so much easier than going out to a restaurant.
Yes. It really helps save time. So this fall, choose Green Chef for premium balanced recipes that please your palate and save you time on busy weeknights.
And they have expanded their menu. They're going to go from 24 to 30 recipes weekly with the option to mix and match meals from different dietary preferences in the same box without changing your plan. Add in extra meals in just one click. Go to greenchef.com/hypo135 and use code hypo135 to get $135 off across 5 boxes. And your first box ships free. That's greenchef.com/hypo135 and use code hypo135 to get $135 off across 5 boxes. And your first box ships free. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
We are supported by Indeed. When you're hiring, you're supposed to leave no stone unturned. But how do you actually do that? Easily. Partner with one powerful stone turner. You need Indeed.
Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place.
Okay, Sean, let me tell you, something I love about Indeed is that it really actually makes hiring all in one place super easy.
So easy.
Saves you headaches. I mean, the interview virtually with no download, plugins, purchases, and you can do it all one place, Indeed.
Right.
Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed.
Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews.
Hate waiting? Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job.
Visit Indeed.com/actor to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/actor. Indeed.com/actor. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application. Pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. There she is. Look at that gorgeous face. Our guest today is someone I've known for a long time, and I love her so very much. She's an incredible actor, comedian, writer, activist. She's here to talk some hocus pocus with us. It's my good friend, my dear friend, who I love so, so much, Kathy Najimy.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Dr. Wally.
Kathy, so nice to meet
you. Wait, why do you look? You look like a model.
What are you talking about?
You're
woke up.
Oh wow, you look like that. Oh wow, you are glowing.
You do. You look so pretty today.
Really? I was just thinking. Thank God I'm not on camera, but I think it's because you love my personality and my boobs.
That's why we're friends. I take little naps inside of her breasts. It's so lovely.
He's very great because he leaves a quarter there as well when he leaves. And it stays. It stays.
Oh, my goodness.
I leave like wads of cash and it stays. All right. So I've known you such a long time. It's exhausting to think about. I love you so much. You're one of the funniest people to ever walk the planet. And I have to tell the story. You're so sick of the story, but Priyanka doesn't know the story.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what story it is.
It's the Dan Band story.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so her husband Dan started the Dan Band.
Okay.
It was a very, very popular, still is a popular band. And I used to go to Kathy and Dan's house because I was in the band very, very, very briefly, learning mm-hmm. the songs, playing the mm-hmm. keyboards, blah, blah, blah. And I got the pilot of Will and Grace. And mm-hmm. then one day I came to rehearsal for the Dan Band and I was in their garage rehearsing. And I stopped and I was like, Dan, I was like, he's like, yeah, I go, I'm real stressed out. I just got this pilot. I don't know that I can do both the pilot and be here for, and present for the band. He's like, it's okay. Relax about it. I was like freaking out. He's like, that's okay. But it was so crazy that I was almost part of that permanent band. It's so cool.
Yes. And that TV show, of course, is called The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The show. Right, right, right.
Congrats.
Now, I want to ask you so many things. First of all, the other amazing thing is yes. my godson, Jonah Neustadt, is your assistant.
I love Jonah so much. He's one of the best humans ever.
Ever. Yes. He's like an old soul.
Yeah. And when he worked for me just for a very temporary part of time, I had no idea that he even knew you. And then he said, I think you know my god dad.
Yeah.
And I said, Nicolas Cage. And he said, no. And then we brought it down to you.
Could you imagine? So Nick's like, hey, my godson. That's hysterical. Well, Jonah, if you're listening, we all love you.
Oh, God, I love Jonah.
He's the best. Aww. And he raves about you, too. So wait, I've never seen Soap Dish. Just watched it last week for the first time ever. Hilarious. Was that your first movie? Scotty and I were like, is that Kathy?
I think it was very close. I think it was my third film.
Yeah.
And very quick showbiz story about Soap Dish, flickety flick flick.
Yeah.
I think I had like four lines. Michael Hoffman was the director. And as you know, it was filled with huge stars. Yeah. Sally Field. I mean, it yeah. was like Kathy Moriarty, Terry Hatcher, Kevin Kline. It was so many huge, Elizabeth Shue. And so I was like, how fun to be on the set for a day. Well, the director, Michael Hoffman, I did my day and he said, oh, you're so fun and funny. Can you just stay? And aww. I said, okay, but honey, I don't have any more lines.
Yeah.
So if you watch Soap Dish, you'll see me faint. You'll see yes. me catch on fire. You'll yeah. see me run through the thing.
But that's
it's
what
like
I'm saying. It's
smoke,
like,
anything you can do without lines.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, a month. I was there for a month.
But that's what I'm saying. You watch that and your eye always immediately goes to you in anything you do because
yeah,
you have it. You have that thing
yeah.
where you're like, oh, this girl was born to be yeah. hysterically funny, gifted, always present in a scene. Like I'm just constantly drawn to you.
Totally. See. Priyanka, who else does that remind you of? Always funny, present in a scene.
Yeah.
Me. I'll answer
yes.
that. That's me.
Yeah.
You're talking about me.
Yes, I'm talking
well,
about you.
Well, that's no mystery. I'm kidding.
Hey, our common friend that you did Will and Grace with, she played Grace. She, I was like, what can I bring up about Sean that would really embarrass him?
God.
But it's true. And that's a medical thing.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Well, we've heard it all. So I wonder yeah. what this could be.
The freckle on the...
Yeah, I got a freckle on my penis.
Oh, yeah. I think you've talked about that, right?
I have a freckle on the tip of my penis. And in my 20s, when I was very sexually active, like every other human being,
uh-huh.
I would have somebody want to perform oral sex on me and they'd freak out. And then they'd shrug and go, oh, well, and they still did it. because they didn't know if it was a mole or some kind of STD, but it was just a freckle.
But you paid them cash, so they had to do what they had to do. You weren't going to renege at the last minute.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, you get
oh,
what you
my
pay for.
Goodness.
There you go.
Okay. So now, before we get into the good medical stuff, I want to ask this one named Priyanka is super excited, as am I, about Hocus Pocus 2.
Oh my gosh. I've probably watched Hocus Pocus like 20 times.
Yeah, we all did.
When I was growing up, I was obsessed. So excited about Hocus Pocus
thank
2.
You so much. I get 9 cents every time you watch yeah. it. So thank you so much for that.
Not for the sequel. Not for the sequel. So wait, tell me about it. And when does it start? And who's in? Is it all the same cast and everybody?
It's not the same kids. They hired three fantastic actresses. Young women, actors who are so smart and fantastic and beautiful and wonderful.
Nice.
And then the three old hags.
And I was busy, so.
Yeah, so we let Sarah do it.
Okay. So, oh God, I love you so much. All right. So tell me about diabetes. When were you first diagnosed? And it's something I don't know, Priyanka. We were emailing about you last night, me and Priyanka, and I'd never heard of gestational. Am I saying
it
right?
Yeah. So let's kind of just start at the beginning. So you were diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Is that accurate?
Yes. In the 90s, a doctor said you had the beginning of regular diabetes. And at that time, I was heavier than I am now. Okay. No judgment against any kind of heaviness ever. But anyway, so she said, you know, you should probably lose some weight. So I lost weight and it went away. No more diabetes.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
But then when I got pregnant with Samia, I got something called gestational diabetes.
Ah, okay.
And that morphed into type 1. But here's the good news. I don't give an F. You know why? Because I got Samia. So I would take any kind of diabetes 1,000,000,000,000 times.
Oh,
it's kind of a bummer. Do you want to? Well, you can't really show this to the audience, but I have a little tiny pump that's attached.
Okay, so you use an insulin pump. Okay.
By the way, Scotty has the exact same thing.
He does?
Yeah.
He has type 1.
Yes, he has type 1.
And he has this little pump.
No, he doesn't do that. He does like a remote, it's called Omnipod.
Yes, Omnipod.
Is that yours too?
Mine is a different kind of a thing. I won't say their names because they don't pay me yet to.
Okay.
To.
Right.
Okay. So just some clarifying terms, because so you were actually told that you had glucose issues before you actually got pregnant, correct? But you're saying that it went away temporarily and then when you became pregnant.
But they said that specifically had to do with being pregnant. Like I didn't have diabetes. I had like gestational, which a lot of women have their baby. And then, of course, as you know, doctor, it just goes away. But mine stayed.
I didn't know that.
Right. So gestational diabetes, by definition, is when a person who did not have diabetes before gets diagnosed with a new diagnosis of diabetes while they're pregnant.
Yes.
What's specific to pregnancy, a lot of people don't realize, is that pregnancy is an insulin resistant state, which means that when someone is pregnant, the placenta releases a bunch of hormones that will basically increase glucose levels. And so the mom has to secrete a lot more insulin to keep those glucose levels down in order to stay balanced, basically.
Wow. Sexy. It's sexy secretion.
Well, she has extra. You have extra.
You know,
that.
If there's any kind of issue with producing enough insulin, either from type 1 or type 2, where there's still not enough insulin being made because the glucose demands are too high, that will lead to gestational diabetes.
What do you do if you're a woman who has type 1 diabetes before you're pregnant?
Yeah.
You just have to, is it insane?
Yeah, so a lot of times you have to adjust the insulin requirements. So like if someone's using insulin before they're pregnant, you can still have a healthy pregnancy.
Yeah.
You just need to use more insulin. And it needs to be very finely kind of monitored, right?
All right, so Kathy, so you had diabetes, it went away.
Yes.
But then when you were pregnant, it came back. And what were the symptoms? What were you feeling? And did you kind of know that you were getting it or?
No, I think my doctor, she's a really smart doctor. She detected it right before anybody, which was great.
So you weren't like extra tired or?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. No. I actually was the most beautiful I've ever been in my life. Do you know why? It's because my daughter was in me.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? No, it's true.
I love that.
It's true. I believe that.
I'm going to send you pictures of me pregnant. It was like,
we believe it.
So yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a bummer because, you know, you have a thing connected to you, but I don't know why. You know, I think I know why. I grew up in a big family that we didn't have any money, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Same.
So I am comfortable with hurdles and challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't scare me. They don't freak me out. It's always been a part of my life, you know, starting out, you know, doing the Kathy Emo show and not being a thin-sized person. Like none of those things really dash me.
Yeah. So like if you witness an accident or some kind of trauma or something, I bet you go into, you don't flee. You're like, how can we figure this out? I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. Is that right?
Mm.
I get out with my freaking stethoscope. I say, I'm Dr. Jimmy. Let me help you.
Yeah.
I bandaged them up.
I love that.
No, I'm not freaked out by any of that stuff. I'm freaked out by like, you know, Republican laws.
Yeah, well,
that is fair.
But Sean, to your point, this is actually a really good point that, you know, it's so important to be screened for diabetes during pregnancy because a lot of pregnant women will not have symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible it would go away after the baby is born?
Sometimes it can go away, right? Because the demand for insulin goes down. But just to be technical, Kathy, because you were diagnosed with diabetes before you were actually pregnant, you technically had pre-gestational diabetes because the onset had occurred before pregnancy, technically.
Yeah.
How do we know that, though?
Because you said someone had told you before you were actually pregnant that you had diabetes, but then it went away, right? So,
well, it went away like in the early 90s. That went away. But then, yeah, it came back.
Right, right. So usually gestational diabetes, by definition, is like the first time a person's ever been told they have diabetes ever in their life. It happened during pregnancy. Your first time, right? So technically would be pre-gestational diabetes.
Wow.
So I'm curious about what was the time lapse between after you gave birth and then the diagnosis of type 1? What was that period like? Were you having symptoms?
It was pretty quick because, you know, I had a C-section. So I was there in the hospital and they were checking me.
Yes.
And so they were like, well, you know, you still have it. And then I had a great woman doctor. So she helped me morph from the maternity care to diabetic care.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So I had some great doctors in LA. Now I live in New York.
Wait, tell me, have you had any, I hope not, but any scares with diabetes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of sort of equipment if you travel that you have to make sure you have your insulin is cold and there's an ice pack and oh my gosh, the insulin is expired.
Yes.
And then my husband's up at 4 a.m. FedExing the insulin to Los Angeles.
Right,
Our common friend in L.A., Sean.
Yes, yes.
Jen, I stay at her house a lot when I'm there.
Yeah.
So she's heard me calling for express delivery. Like, what's the place that sends you food to your house?
DoorDash?
Yeah. DoorDash.
DoorDash, yeah. My DoorDash isn't a sandwich.
It's medical.
It's pharmaceuticals.
But it's still in between two pieces of bread.
Yeah. I've done pretty good because, you know, like I said, I used to be a different kind of a sized person. There's no judgment on any size for anybody. Mm-hmm. And then I have, you know, like this great doctor here at Columbia, and she takes my calls at 4 a.m. I was about to do the morning show.
Yeah, I do
last
the same
year.
For Sean, too. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, about to do the morning show?
About to do the morning show, staying at a hotel because I didn't want to bother the other people. And all of my equipment failed and I was beeping all over the place. I was calling my husband. It's because I had traveled and the Lantis was not refrigerated properly. So by the time I got to the fancy hotel, flickety flick, I'm flicking my hair. it had sort of gone bad.
So
I was up. I think my call was at 7 a.m. And at 6 a.m. I was still up on the line with Sweet Doctor here in New York at Columbia saying, oh my God, I have to act today. But she's like, you have another pen. There's a pen that will do the same thing.
And Scotty's been in the same positions. Yeah. Where he's, you panic and there's more resources now than ever to kind of get through those moments, I hope.
Did Scotty have it from birth or did he get it as a grown up?
17 years old.
17. And do they know what occurred?
Just pancreas just failed.
And
then, in terms of why people develop type 1, we know it's autoimmune, right? So the body's attacking its own pancreatic cells. But why that happens, there can be certain genetic components. It might be environmental. They're still trying to understand the reasoning behind that. What's fascinating is we're seeing cases of, it's called type 1.5, where someone has type 2 diabetes, but they also have pancreatic beta cell destruction. So they some part of type 1 as well, which requires insulin. So
is it Ryan Reynolds starring in that? Pancreatic beta cell destruction?
It got greenlit.
It got greenlit. With Robert. Robert Downey.
He wears a cape. We are supported by Next Evo. Guys, have you ever known someone who tried CBD before but wasn't sure if it even did anything, or if you hadn't tried CBD before, what made you hesitant about it? If you've ever wondered whether your CBD was working, that means it probably wasn't. Next Evo Naturals developed Smart Sorb technology, clinically proven to help your body absorb CBD 4 times better than regular CBD oil, because oil just doesn't mix with your water-based body. Get it? It works faster too. When you feel stress coming on, you you won't waste time wondering, is it working? So I tried Next Evo Naturals. The second I put it on, I felt it. I felt less stressed. I felt relaxed. And like I just said, it absorbed immediately. Like I wasn't waiting around going, gosh, is this working? Is it not working? I felt it working immediately. Get to the root of stress with the Stress CBD Complex from Next Evo Naturals. For up to 25% off subscription orders of $40 or more, use promo code HYPO at nextevo.com. That's NEXTEVO.com. Promo code HYPO.
Wait, so can we switch gears a little bit? You also shared about how you have sleeping issues.
Yes.
Oh my God, doctor.
I Please. Love that.
Can we talk
yes,
about
I
this?
Do too. I do too. Yeah. Tell me about your, look at her. She
oh,
just fell
she's
asleep.
Asleep. She fell asleep. Hold on, Sean. She fell asleep.
Oh, she's
Wait.
Back on.
We gotta wake her up.
I think it started in the late 80s. I had just moved to New York with my writing and performing partner, Mo Gaffney, and we were doing something called the Kathy and Mo Show. And we did it in small little gay bars, and then we did it on Off-Broadway for 2 full years. So you get off the show at like 10 or 11, then you go out with your friends to eat, then you come home. And this was before computers, people. I might explain to you what used to happen. We would have bills that were paper. They were like paper. And you had to get a pen, sign, and you had to lick a stamp. Yeah.
It's mystical. Yeah. This sounds like a mystical made-up story.
It is.
Insane. So that's when my clock, my sleep clock kind of got a little wonky was when I came to New York and doing Off-Broadway and going out with your friends. And it never really got back to normal except for when we had Samia, because she had to wake up at 7:30 to go to school.
Yeah.
So we had this deal, me and my husband Dan, where I would wake up, I would get her washed and dressed and feed her, wake him up. He'd put her in the car and drive her. I would go back to sleep until he got home. And then he would
My God, wow.
But to this day, Dan and I think we went to bed at 3:30 last night. We're great for each other in every other aspect of the marriage, except for we don't sleep.
So, you know, this is so true. Mental overactivity or an overactive mind is a significant problem for many people with insomnia.
And in this country, we're like obsessed with getting the right amount. Like everybody's like, I slept great. I was like, I want to be like that person who slept great. Yeah.
Great. Me too.
One question I have for you, Kathy, because people who are really working a lot, thinking a lot, doing a lot of times people with insomnia, they'll work right up until the time they get into bed. So there's no mental wind down period where you're just allowing yourself to disconnect from the things you've been working on for hours and hours. So it's not surprising that if you bring that into the bed, it's going to continue into the sleep period. Do you have a mental wind down period that's at least an hour where you're, you stop working and you don't bring it into the bedroom, like a protected period for you to kind of stop the demands of the day?
You're so smart, Dr. Wally. You should go into medicine. But here's the deal.
We're praying for her.
It's a really good, it's a good suggestion. So, but let me ask, because I do need your help. So I am usually in my office click-clacking away, doing things on the computer till late, right?
Yes.
So then I come in, but my husband, who is 13 years younger than me, so he's more a child of the television. Like when he was growing up, it was just all TV all day. We had three channels. That was it.
Yeah.
We had in the olden days and a horse and buggy. And so he likes to watch TV. So I'm through with my computer and I come in and then the TV's on for another hour of Shark Tank. But is that, that's not good.
Oh my God, I love Shark Tank.
Me too, so does he.
So here's the thing, and I've said this before on other episodes, the only thing the bed is for is for sleeping and sex. No electronics, no TV, no reading, no writing, no journaling, no thinking about work, no doing taxes. Sleeping and sex are the only thing the bedroom is for.
I would go so far, I would add to that, that the entire room is for that. Right? Because if you associate the room also with being right or whatever, it seems like that's also your workplace too.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think it should be separate.
Do you and Scotty, do you succeed at just like talking in a sweet tone and falling asleep?
Yeah, well, we sleep in separate rooms because we both snore and keep each other up. So for the last 16 years, we always sleep in separate rooms. Which is true. That's the truth.
That's the secret to their longstanding marriage.
Hold on 1 second.
That's
Danny. Dan, you have to come listen to the advice of the very smart doctor.
Oh, my goodness. Here's the thing. It's really important to train.
Wait. This is Danny.
Oh, there he is. Say
hi. Hi. It's so nice to meet you.
Listen to the
doctor.
Okay,
so the first thing I was just going to say, so first of all, it's really important to train your mind to associate your bed as a place of rest and sleep. If you're doing engaging activities like watching TV, thinking about your stressful life, doing taxes, journaling, writing, sitting on your cell phone, you're actually going to activate your brain to associate the bed with areas of hyperactivity. So much so that you'll program yourself to just sitting in the bed is going to arouse you in a stimulating way. And so you want
But so does a TV.
The TV
right.
arouses
so,
you?
So the TV's got to go as well. If there's
no, a TV
issues.
Arouses me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But that's the whole point. You don't want to be aroused. The only thing the bed is for sleeping and sex. The
I'm
different kind of arousal.
I'm looking at two people that arouse me too. So guys,
oh my
when I'm ready, when I'm ready to go
here.
To bed, you guys got to get out of there. You got
to
get out of my bedroom.
Bed.
His aphrodisiac is Shark Tank.
Shark Tank and Will and Grace reruns.
Will and Grace reruns.
Okay.
Shout
so,
out.
Yeah, right.
So the thing is, if watching Shark Tank really does turn you on, then as a sexual activity, then you really have to do it with that kind of intention.
You
like,
mean stimulate
okay,
your brain,
have sex,
not sexually.
Let's
turn
put
you
on Shark Tank and like get turned on and then have the sex and then turn off the TV and then go to sleep. Like that would be a focused, acceptable bed activity. That's the only condition in which the TV would be acceptable in the bedroom. Everything else is off.
Yeah.
Doctor, he is so red right now. It's crazy.
I don't even know what's happening. Like, I'm just in the other room. Are we still talking about Barbara Corcoran? This is a euphemism, right?
I love her.
She's no nonsense.
This is my Barbara Corcoran impression. Ready?
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys came in here. This is the worst product I've ever seen. I don't believe your story. I don't believe anybody believing this. I'm going to make you an offer.
Yeah.
She says everything negative.
She'll be like, he wore a blue skirt. And you know what? That I don't like people who wear blue skirts. You're the kind of person who would kill your mother.
That's right. And then she says, and I'm going to make an offer. But I'm going to make an offer.
But it's going to be Sharky. Yeah.
So we have to not watch TV and just go to bed or have sex. But can we? Do we have to have sex with each other or can it be other people as well?
No, if you want to bring Sean into the, you know, you can invite whoever you want. Yes. But it's about training your mind to associate the bed with sleep or sex.
Only.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
So, and also, obviously, the other important sleep hygiene things, like the room needs to be pitch black.
Dark.
Like the level of darkness that's appropriate is if you put your hand arms width apart, you should not be able to see your hand. That's the level of darkness that's needed so that your melatonin levels actually go high enough for you to fall asleep.
But he's going to, if I'm tired, he's going to need to see his hand.
Oh my goodness. That's fair. Yeah. If
you're absolutely right. It's going to change our health life because then we wake up late and we're all groggy and then we're freaked out of like, oh my God, I have a meeting at 12. And it's not healthy.
No, it's really going to affect your hormones and everything. And then if there's a lot of ambient noise, consider earplugs, eye shades to block out
traffic.
Yeah. All the stuff.
She said ambient. I got excited.
I know.
She said
ambient light. Ambient light.
Ambient noise.
and no electronics. Keep your phones in the other room.
Here's what's not going to make you fall asleep is we're going to play a game.
Okay.
It's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're each going to get three questions with possible points for creativity if you don't know the answer. So feel free to guess. Sean, you're up first. Ready?
Ready, Santa.
Okay. First question. Histology is the study of what? Histology. I can spell
that.
Well,
it's got to be, no, you don't need to. It's got to be histamines, like allergens and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. That's a really good guess, but that's very incorrect.
Okay.
So histology is the study.
Wait, do I get to guess? I don't get to guess?
Only if you want to. You don't have to. But
I think it's the study of snakes.
That is also incorrect, but I love how adorable that answer is. 1 point for being adorable. It's the study of biological tissues or cells under a microscope.
Oh.
It's the microscopic version of gross anatomy, which...
Well, who in the world is going to get that right? All right, next question.
I know, that's a really hard one. Okay, second question, Sean. If you adjust for inflation, what is the highest grossing movie of all time?
Okay, I got to pick between Avatar, Titanic,
Titanic or a Star Wars.
Okay, none of those are
really?
The correct answer.
Okay, Avengers Endgame.
Way older.
Oh my none God, then Star yeah. Wars?
Older than Star Wars.
Do you guys know I've never seen a Star Wars, a Star Trek, any kind of a sci-fi, anything in my life?
Well, that's,
oh
the, end of,
goodness.
That's the end of this
Isn't
interview.
That crazy?
That's the end of this interview. Not
this is
thing.
Why you have sleep problems. Your soul is craving for Star yeah. Wars.
I think the answer is Porky's.
That is also incorrect.
Wait, is it Gone with the Wind?
That is correct. It is okay. Gone with the Wind. Very good, Sean. Okay,
only because you gave me
you
a
that.
Hint that it was older than those.
Okay, third question, Sean. What is the first line of your high school's fight song?
What? Wait. I have no idea.
I do.
Of mine?
No, mine.
Okay,
okay,
go ahead.
Just say yours, Kathy. What's yours?
Well, how would I know his high school's fight song?
Well, because that's the question.
I know mine. Ready? C, 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 R, A. W, F, O, R, D. C, R, A. C, H, S. Go Colts.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice. Okay.
What is mine? I mean, I know how to
okay.
spell my,
so,
my, know how to spell my high
so
school, but I.
Well, apparently it's, oh, it's G, L, E, N, B, A, R, D.
That's what well, I could spell the name of my high school.
But you
West
didn't do
high
it,
school.
Sean. You didn't do it when you
All
had
right,
a chance.
So I lost.
So you lost
okay.
your chance, Sean.
All right.
It's
well,
over.
Next time, ask
Dad,
me to spell
please it. Stop fighting. Stop fighting.
Okay, okay, so
okay.
Kath.
Okay, Kathy, you're up now. Okay, first question.
Yes.
Pes planus refers to what medical condition? Pes planus. And I can spell it for you.
No, I know how to spell it. It's somebody who can't stop eating the little candy stuff pop out of a Pez container.
Candy.
That is incorrect, but the answer is flat feet. Pes planus, Latin, pes is Latin for foot, and planus is flat, so it's flat feet.
I would have gotten that because I have plantar fasciitis.
You're right, and I have flat feet.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, very sexy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so second question. Who was the host of Family Feud before Steve Harvey?
Well, there's a million. Do you want Richard Dawson?
No, the one right before him.
The one right,
oh, right
before.
Before him. Who was the host of Family Feud right before Steve Harvey?
I have a guess.
No, it wasn't Louis Anderson. That was mine.
That was going to be my guess.
Right. It's not Louis. It's not Louis. Yeah.
Wait, give me the first letter of the first name and I'll give you $6,000.
Okay. The first letter of the first name is J.
J. Oh, J. Jim? No, John.
What is it?
Jerry, John, Jim.
You said John. John is John. The first name.
Who was the host of the family? Do you know that I was on Family Feud with Richard
yes.
Dawson before I was a known person? I made
really?
My living going oh. up on game shows before I was an actress.
Oh,
I didn't
it.
Know that.
It was so much fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
no,
any guess? Guess? Any? John?
No.
John?
Who is
the
it?
The answer is John O'Hurley.
Oh, yes. John O'Hurley from Seinfeld.
Okay. Third question. In the 1993 film Hocus Pocus, which I love, what common household cleaning item does your character, Mary Sanderson, ride like a broomstick?
A vacuum cleaner.
That is correct.
Yes.
It is a vacuum
Yay.
Cleaner. Very nice. I love it. Okay.
It's a little bit of a tie.
It's a tie. You each both got one. So now we need to go into tiebreaker round. So the first person to answer correctly or close enough wins.
Okay.
Okay. So
okay.
are you both ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The New York Times bought what popular web-based word game in January 2022?
What's the word thing that Martha Plimpton loves? The word thing. Wordle.
That is correct.
Oh,
Wordle
yes,
is the
it's
answer.
It's Wordle. Oh, my God. I totally knew that. I totally knew that.
But Kathy got it first.
I know, but I feel like Sean loves me so much that he knew it and he held back because he knows how much I like games.
Oh, no,
games
he wouldn't have held
forgot.
Back.
No.
He,
that.
Like, legitimately took that long. Yeah.
No, then I still respect you. Then I still respect you.
No. Kathy, you are the winner. Congratulations.
Yay!
You're in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame.
Kathy, we love you. Thank you for being on the show, honey. We love you so much.
Thank you so much.
It was
much.
Such a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, Dr. Wally.
And I hope
Wally.
I get to see you.
You're so welcome.
Sean, I want to see you soon. Thank you, doctor.
Bye,
you,
darling.
This was so much fun.
Most welcome. Yes. Talk to you soon.
Isn't she
what
great?
Right. She was so funny, Sean. Oh, my goodness. She was just a punchline every 10 seconds.
Yeah,
oh my God. It.
It
was so funny. She was so good.
She's one of the people that she's as funny in real life as she is on screen.
Oh, yeah. No, it totally seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she brought attention to a very important topic, the importance of getting screened for diabetes during pregnancy.
Yeah. That's the first time I ever heard that. I didn't know
that. Yeah. Gestational diabetes. Or technically for it was pre-gestational. But yeah. And also thanks to our two voice message callers, Isabella and Jenna.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I loved all the talking about the sleep stuff. And I'll check in with her to see if she did it. And it really, really worked.
Definitely. Definitely.
Guys, thanks for listening today. We love you all. Please don't worry. Be healthy. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriactor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Lior Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriactor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.